and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., opening up our program as we usually do with our theme song, No One Else by Gregory Stafford. I tell you what, it is great to be with you all. The beginning of another new year. And already, it's moving. Just like time has been moving up till now, we are already into the seventh day. The seventh day of our new year, and it is good to be with you. I want to ask you something that I asked the other day. Did you bring hope with you? Yes, did you bring hope with you into this new year? I know many of you brought challenges, but I think a lot of you also brought some hope, some optimism with you. Now, I know that one of the challenges for a lot of you could be this whole notion of, where do I stand in the world? And even more specifically, where do I stand in the sight of the Lord Jesus? And you're thinking about lifestyle, how you lived your life the past 12 years, the past 8 years, the past 4 months. You're thinking about how you messed up and you're just being honest with yourselves. By confessing to yourselves, even if to no one else, you messed up badly and for a long time. Truth be told, that can really make it difficult. That can make it hard for us to forgive ourselves. It's one thing to mess up badly. It's one thing to mess up for a long time, but maybe what's happening isn't, quote unquote, that bad. I know that there's some people who say sin is sin. All sin is all sin. Yes, but there are sins that are worse than others. And intuitively, we know that. That's why there are some things that we can do that just bother us more than other things that we ourselves also do. But when we're doing bad things for a long time, that can really make it tough to forgive ourselves. I mean, sometimes it's just hard to forgive ourselves anyway, but when we've been doing a lot of bad things for a long, long time, it can become almost, for some people, it seems like it might be impossible to forgive self. And some people might be wondering, you know, I wonder if even Jesus could forgive all of this. Could he still really care about me after all that I've done? And some of you are thinking about how committed you were to the Lord Jesus at one point in your lives, even if it was just for a brief period. The commitment was there, and it was a deep commitment. It was a sincere commitment, but it only lasted for a while. And then you were on a downward spiral, taking yourself not only back in the direction you had been going in before you got off track, but doing even worse than before you made that first commitment. Can Jesus really love me? Well, I would like for Damona Jackson Warren to answer that question for you in a song entitled Jesus Loves Me from her CD, Songs from My Heart. Take a listen.
Little ones to him belong. all the way. If I love him when I die, he will take me home on high.
Damona Jackson Warren. Damona Jackson Warren. Affirming Jesus' love for us, even when we've messed up. You talk about someone who has power to forgive, the Lord Jesus. I was mentioning it can be so, so trying when we're wondering if Jesus, even Jesus, could forgive us. And we have messed up badly and for a long time, doing all kinds of things that we knew were wrong. So hard to forgive ourselves. And as I said, wondering, can even Jesus forgive me? His love is so strong. Yes, he can forgive us. Damona Jackson Warren, Jesus Loves Me. You know I'm going to let you hear some more of that before we go today. I've got to. Got to let you hear some more of that. All right. It is another week. I know that we have brought some challenges into the new year, but as I've mentioned, I hope that you have also brought hope and optimism for many. This will be a year of release, restoration, and renewal. Something about that word renewal I want to share with you. It can mean either something that was in a previous condition is being restored to that same condition, is being brought back to that same condition that it was in before it got messed up. But the word renew can also mean being brought to a condition, a good condition that it was never in before. A condition that was never there, brought to a status that never existed before. In other words, the word renew can be similar in meaning to made new. So, you know, that prefix re has us thinking again. But when it comes to the word renew, it doesn't always necessarily mean again, brought back to the same condition again. Sometimes it has to do with this is the first time that it was ever like this. This is the first time that you ever had something this good happening for you. This is the first time that your body was in this great a physical condition. This is the first time that your soul was this vibrant. Your soul has never been this vibrant, this alive, but it is now. This will be a year of release, restoration, and renewal for many, many people. So hold on to the hope. Those of you who brought some hope into the new year, optimism into the new year. And it doesn't matter whether you're one of the wealthiest people on earth, one of the people somewhere in the middle, you know, maybe you're one of the poorest, or you're somewhere in between those two extremes. You're neither anywhere near the wealthiest, you're nowhere near the poorest, you're somewhere in between. Doesn't matter, because we all have needs. This can be a great year for many, 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 many people. So keep hold, keep hold, keep hold, keep grasp of the hope and the optimism. Well, one of the things we're going to be taking a look at today, in addition to hearing more from Damona Warren Jackson, her song, Jesus Loves Me. I like the way she did that, too. I liked her rendition. But we're also going to take a look at some news highlights of 2018, including medical news highlights of the year. And then I want us to also take a look at the significance of insuring Americans. Before we go to either of those places, though, I'd like for you to think through this with me. As we know, President Donald Trump had been promising months ago that he was going to shut down the government if he didn't have his way by getting an extra $5 billion to build the wall between Mexico and America. And of course, even though many of us don't know Donald Trump that well, I think all of us knew that that was not an empty threat. He meant it when he said he was going to shut down the government. He wanted that government shut down if he didn't get his money for the wall. Now, here's the thing I want us to keep in mind. This is so important to remember. There is no law, neither is there any ethical consideration that mandated that President Trump have the government shut down. That was not something that had to be done. That was not a course of action that he had to take. That was a course of action that he wanted to take. A terrible course of action that is causing more pain for more of our fellow Americans. Unnecessary pain. And remember, even though the unemployment rate is roughly 3%, and there are some people getting some mild wage increases after decades of wages having been held down, we're also still recovering from the Great Recession that so many of our political leaders, particularly on the Republican side, did their best to stymie. A recovery that was needed, and they did their best to thwart it. And as a result, the recovery wasn't nearly as strong as it could have been and should have been. So we still have people recovering from that. We still have people who have huge school debts that need to be paid, and so many people struggling to pay school debts, struggling still to pay for food and housing and medicines. We're still struggling all across America, and not just the poor either. There are many people amongst the middle class who are struggling, and against that backdrop, our president, the president of the United States of America, called for and demanded to shut our government down because he could not get more money for the wall. And he's made it clear he's perfectly willing to let this government shutdown last for years. He has roughly two more years in office. He said he's willing to let it last for months, even years. What would that do to the finances of those individuals and those families? What would it do to America's economy, our economy? It would devastate them and it would devastate our economy. And so we think about all those beautiful sounding promises that President Trump made during his inaugural speech. And when he decides to make a decision that is intended to hurt Americans, you can't help but conclude that his promises were empty, meaningless, because he didn't mean them. He has an opportunity to help, and instead he chooses leaders who will do their part to try to hurt people's opportunity to receive more public education. He called for a budget that would reduce funding for job training, reduce funding for education. All the things he has already done that hurts Americans, calling for the repeal of the Affordable Care Act so that millions of Americans will lose their insurance coverage and others who could receive it will have that opportunity cut off. Amidst all of that and more, he says, okay, now the next thing I want to do is this. If I don't get more money, $5 billion, for the wall that I want, then somebody's going to pay. And it will be fellow Americans. It will be people who work for the federal government, because I'm going to put them out of work. I'm going to have them working for free. I'm going to have them working, and they'll just have to wait until they get their money once the government shutdown ends. And whatever happens to them in the meantime is just tough. Because not only am I going to call for a government shutdown, but I'm going to let it last as long as it needs to last until I get my money. And so many Republicans in Washington supporting him. The President of the United States of America, who should be doing everything in his power to help Americans live better, is taking very significant steps to hurt Americans, millions and millions and millions of Americans. And please, Republican constituents, don't take comfort in our president's tweet that it's mostly Democrats who are being hurt by this. First of all, whether it's mostly Democrats or mostly Republicans, we really don't know. Secondly, think about that. Even if it is mostly Democrats who are being hurt, he's perfectly willing to hurt many, many, many Republicans if that's what he has to do to hurt Democrats. And so he considers the Republican constituents who get caught up in this just casualties of war. And based on what he's saying, he could care less. What's important to him is getting the $5 billion, the extra $5 billion for the wall. Despite the fact that he is being told there are other ways to secure our border. Despite the fact he's already received over $1 billion for the wall. But even though he tweeted it's mostly Democrats who are being hurt, most of us would hope that the President of the United States would care so much about the citizens that he's supposed to be looking out for, that not only would he not call for a government shutdown, but if he heard senators and or representatives suggesting that they might call for one, he would be expected, it would be hoped that he would say, hey, look, you all continue the talks, see what you can do to avoid a federal government shutdown. We don't need that. And not only did he not urge people not to even consider that, he's the one who called for it. The President of the United States of America. When no one